You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
From ashes to the living font, your church must journey long. Baptized in grace renewed by your most holy word. Return to God with all your heart, surrender and be free. With humble hearts we cry to you, have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive our sin, we
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Kate, this is a special day.
A very special day. We turned a season, a liturgical season.
So if you walk in the church today, you're no longer going to see green, but
purple.
Because?
Because it is Lent.
And today's Ash Wednesday.
A blessed Lent to everybody.
Yeah, we hope
Thank
that everybody does. And we hope I put a little something together for the young adult world. And I encourage everyone to get their ashes early today so that they could wear on their forehead the sign of the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
As a witness that this is the big time of the year for us.
And actually, just to elaborate on that, Father Cusick, for all of our listeners, it is a wonderful reflection that Father Cusick did about Ash Wednesday and the significance of what we're doing today and throughout Lent. So we encourage everyone to jump on our website, yamchicago.org, and click into the Awaken Lenten Reflections. Or a quicker way for all of you tech-savvy people is to go on to Facebook, find Young Adult Ministry of Chicago, and like the page, then we will make sure that you get those reflections. We're not doing them every day. We're doing them every now and then, and we'd love to keep you in the conversation.
And you, if you might be a friend, relative of somebody in their 20s or 30s, you know, whether they're married or single, it's immaterial about that. It's just that our age is 20s and 30s. And if you would invite them to go on Facebook, my God, I imagine about 90% are.
Yes.
And if they, too, would just go to that little box it says and put in Young Adult Ministry of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And when it comes up, there's going to be a little blue, almost like a button or a square. It's got the word like. If you just click on the word like, and then each time we post a reflection, a suggestion, a prayer during Lent, it will go immediately to their Facebook page. And Kate, I noticed this morning, very early, and I sent you and some of our staff an email, that by 6:30 this morning, we had 402 people.
Oh, exciting. Woo.
Yeah, 402 people.
Excellent, excellent.
Who are a part of our Lenten journey on Young Adult Ministry of Chicago on
Fabulous.
Facebook.
Yes.
And so that's the way we communicate today, folks. Yes. Not the only way, but it certainly is one of the more important ways. Particularly in the world of younger people.
Yes, excellent. So, Father Cusick, today we are talking about Lent. We are talking about ashes. We are talking about, what we're doing as we're doing it. And you said something at Mass yesterday, which I found just enticing. And you said, you know what, everybody, Lent starts tomorrow. Let's create a game plan. So wouldn't it be fun? And that's the direction we're going today, everyone. Yeah. We're just playing with the idea, what would be a great game plan to move us through the 40 days of Lent?
And the reason, Kate, I came up with that, it just comes out of my own life, I think. And something, of course, all of our parents might have told us at one time when we were much younger. the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, this Lent, you know, this Lent's going to be different. I'm going to do this. This morning's Mass at 7 o'clock, I said to the people, I said, I want to tell you something. 40 days is a long time.
It's a long time.
And so I think you're really on to something, that we need a game plan. This is no different than a athletic contest. They have a way how they want to play the game. They know what they have to do, and then they have to set about doing it. And if you don't do that and don't have the discipline to follow your game plan, then the whole thing just goes phooey. Mm-hmm. And I think, sadly, for me, all too often by the middle of Lent, I'm saying, oh, yeah, I suppose I should have done a little bit more, thought a little bit more, prayed a little bit more.
Or it's like our New Year's resolutions that, you know, by February, what was that about?
Yeah, most of them are gone.
Yeah, okay.
But we're hoping, folks, that we're going to just, we're looking forward to this time together this morning on Ash Wednesday, just to walk us through some different things and look at some of the great traditions of Lent. And maybe we can make some suggestions. And we would hope that today, with ashes on your forehead and a game plan in your head, that we'll all be able to move forward and have a good Lenten season, so that when we focus on Holy Week, on the passion and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that we'll say, yeah, I'm ready for this, and mm-hmm. and I've done my part.
So. Okay. Well, Father Cusick, maybe you could start us out, given that you've done that wonderful reflection. If you could just give us an overview, why ashes? What are we doing today? What does that mark on the forehead mean?
Well, in a contemporary, I mean, I think you could do a historical thing that, you know, it's, I mean, they're burnt, you can say, well, they're burnt palms and, mm-hmm. you know, and they also come out of a time, I suppose, historically when, you know, life was pretty dismal. Mm-hmm. But you know what I think it says to me, and this is what I wrote in the reflection for young adults, which Kate mentions on our website. It just simply says to me, if I got the guts to put those ashes on my forehead, two things occur. Number one, I'm not all that important. You know, and I think in the world today, you know, we're all concerned about our ego and positioning ourselves. And, you know, and I hear people say, well, that person disrespected me. Oh, okay, fine. You know, but it's maybe not necessarily always about us. So that's number one. And I think to put dirt and ashes on your forehead says, oh, you know, I'm not that important. But secondly, let's understand, folks, that the ashes are just not rubbed on like you're washing a car. They're in the form of a cross. And wherever you go today with ashes on your forehead, you are carrying on your forehead and hanging there, literally, is the cross of Christ. And you're essentially saying that, hey, there's something about my faith that I'm going to give witness to today. And number two, I'm going to do something about in the days and weeks that come. So that's the ashes thing to me, and I'm proud to wear them.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And for our listeners today, we are going to do a little combination of prayer and music and just conversation. We'd like to share further that song we started with today, Return to God. This is by John Angotti, and all the music we're using today is through World Library. But we invite you just to sit back and just relax and really sink into what this season, what this day is all about.
And maybe as this song is playing, this is all of our quiet time to work on that game plan.
Okay.
What's your Lenten game plan going to be? Let's be still.
Your church must journey, Lord, baptized in grace renewed by your most holy word. Return to God with all your heart, surrender and be free. With humble hearts we cry to you, have mercy on us, Lord.
Through fasting, prayer, and charity.
make us a new people. Kyrie eleison. Lord Jesus, you speak your Father's word and we are free. Christe eleison. Lord Jesus, you raise your hand and we are healed. Kyrie eleison.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
Hi, it's Drew Mariani here. Hey guys, are you feeling disconnected? Are you struggling at home or work? Are you looking to ignite your faith again? Then join me and hundreds of other men for the 2011 Chicago Men's Conference on Saturday, March 19th at the Marriott Oakbrook. Joining me will be His Eminence Cardinal Francis George, Sean Forrest, and former New York Giant Chris Godfrey. Plus, you'll hear from other men on how the Holy Spirit has changed their lives. Register now at CatholicMenOfChicago.org. That's CatholicMenOfChicago.org. Hope to see you March 19th.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted to be with you on this Ash Wednesday. Thank you for listening. We just have been listening to Return to God by John Ngadi. We are the outreach of the Catholic Church to people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. And we invite you to join our Lenten Reflections online. You can do that through yamchicago.org and to invite any other young adults you know to join us for those reflections. Again, yamchicago.org.
Now, Kate, Lent and the spiritual exercises, both of the church and what we're invited to participate in personally, are really built around three great traditions in Catholicism.
Yes.
Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Yes.
And if we can, you know, when we're talking about, as you mentioned so brilliantly in the first part of our show this morning, creating a game plan.
Okay.
You know, and I'd like to suggest that the three elements of our game plan be built around prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering if what we might be able to do today during our show is sort of brainstorm a little bit. We know what some of the traditional forms of all three of those are.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see if we can also be a little bit creative, make some suggestions. For me, prayer. First of all, let me give you Father Cusick's operational definition of prayer.
I mean, there you go.
It's not too theological, but then I'm not that theological. But but on the spiritual level in my own life. Prayer, I define as practicing the presence of God. And somehow, in some way, what we have to raise to our consciousness is the presence of God in our life. And there's so many, many, many different ways to do that. And I think what Lent's trying to do is say, well, why don't you try a few? And to see if on some regular basis, maybe we can pray a little bit more, you know? Mm-hmm. I suggested to people today at Mass, I had the early Mass, and it was so great to see so many people at church, you know, that maybe the most fundamental prayer, and we may take it, and this is where Lent is not taking anything for granted, that every day we give thanks for something. As simple as that is, never let a day go by for which we are not grateful. Number one, for being alive. Number two, for the experiences of life that we have. And number three, for the people who are in our life. I think that, you know, and there's just so many days. By the end of the day, I'm just so darn tired and put my head on the pillow and bang, I'm gone. And I've let that day go by. And I have not given thanks. And so I'm just wondering if one of the suggestions we can offer those of you who are putting your game plan together would be practice. How do you practice the presence of God? What does that say to you? Can you live with that?
I think that's fabulous. along the prayer lines, I've also, you know, when you talk about gratitude, something I heard also on Relevant Radio earlier this morning on my drive-in was keep it simple. Do something that's right. doable. Don't do this elaborate plan of these 27 things you're going to get done before Easter. And in terms of prayer, just grace before meals, which, exactly. you know, when it's a you know, the whole family gathers around the table, right. of course we're going to say grace. But when you're on the run at McDonald's, it might not be that easy to remember. But just a simple right. thing, just a grace before meals. What I like to do, I'm on this craze right now of cleaning my house. I've developed some clutter in my house. There have been many, many things. I know. I hate to confess that, but here it is. It's out there now. but things have been piling up as I've not been able to take care of them. And I've noticed just looking around, there are piles of things. So in clearing the clutter, I've got candles here and there and everywhere. So now I've got a bin for candles. And I just found a candle that I hadn't used yet, and it's lovely. So I'm putting it on my coffee table right next to my Bible. I'm clearing the clutter off the coffee table, first of all. But then there will be my Bible, there will be a candle, and I'm hoping, if not every day, a couple of times a week at the end of the day, to light that candle, open that Bible, and just sit, whether I pray with the Bible or not, whether I pray words or not, just as you said, Father Cusick, practicing the presence of God, right. sitting with God, giving some attention to the things that matter most. I think the season of Lent is a wonderful opportunity to make space in our lives for the things that are important, and certainly our relationship with God is primary in that. So what a wonderful time to make space, to clear some clutter, even to create a prayer corner. You know, you may already have a favorite chair in which you pray or meditate, a favorite spot in which you pray, a place to give gratitude. Didn't you say, Father, the Jewish tradition, there's something outside the door to touch, a blessing as you...
It's a mezuzah.
Okay.
And a mezuzah is a... it's a little... Oh, sometimes you'll see them as brass, sometimes they'll be ceramic, and you'll see a little Hebrew scrolling on it. But inside the mezuzah is a little piece of the Torah, a little piece of the scripture.
Wow.
And what observant Jews do is when it comes out of Deuteronomy, you know, my comings and my goings. Mm. And what they do is they tend to touch the mezuzah as a reminder that their coming and their going is under the law of Yahweh.
There you go.
And so it's their constant reminder. And I think in many ways, we have a similar one in church, and that's dipping our hand in the holy water fountain. We bless ourselves coming in. We bless ourselves going out.
Yeah.
The Jewish people, they have it in their on the doorpost. Outside the door, if they're in a home, it would be outside. Or if they're in a hallway in a condo, an apartment building, you can't help but see it. It's just right there. And I think, what a wonderful thing. You know, I'm sure for many of them, after a while, it's just mindless conformity. But every once in a while, it's a reminder. Yeah, I live under the law of Yahweh.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's part of their consciousness, and that's a part of their prayer. Kate, you mentioned something, and I want to just throw my little spin on it.
Okay.
Out there.
You know,
you talked about a prayer before meals.
Yes.
I wrote down something here, a prayer before putting food in my mouth.
But, even snacks. Oh my gosh!
Although not a lot
of snacking right now. Okay.
We're talking about creating a game plan for Lent.
And
let me tell you why. There's so many of us today that we eat on the run.
Yes.
And so when we say a prayer before meals, we may not have what we would call a traditional meal in one day.
Okay.
You know, I'm a Dunkin' Donuts coffee guy for some reason. I get my Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the morning. And that's food when you think about it. It's liquid. And what I don't do is say, Lord, you know, thank you for the food that will be a part of my day. And right now for this coffee that opens up my left eye, you know. But in all seriousness, I mean, folks, let's call these things what they are. If we say a prayer before meals and yet we may only have a half a meal and we don't sit that often.
Yeah.
Let's be honest and say, let's say a prayer before we put food in our mouth.
Okay.
So that if we're at the drive-up at McDonald's, you know, or wherever we are, and we keep a bag of chips in our car or whatever it is, stop a second and just give thanks. Because, you know, if you give thanks for the food you have, it's going to connect us to the Holy Eucharist.
Yes.
Without food, we have no life. If we have no life, we have no future. And so you can see the brilliance of the Lord Jesus. I will be your food. Here, take and eat.
Yes.
What do you need more than anything? We need food to survive. Well, then, spiritually, we need the body of Christ. So maybe during Lent, just a little thing. Prayer before meals, yeah, that sounds so cute, doesn't it?
It's fabulous.
A prayer before you put food in your mouth is certainly a religious practice for a contemporary kind of a world.
Yes. And to consider a prayer before your own leaving the house and returning to the house.
Exactly.
Just the coming and goings, remember that we are in God's presence.
Exactly.
And why don't we move now to a song, another song by John Angadi.
Great.
It's from Psalm 91, Be With Me. And we invite our listeners again to just kind of sink into it.
Okay.
And we'll be right
now,
back.
Now, as this is on, think about practicing the presence of God. Prayer.
Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Shelter of the Most High,
who abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Say to the Lord,
say to the Lord,
my refuge and fortress, my God.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
My name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
I will answer him.
I will be.
And welcome. welcome back to the Light Show with Kate DeVries and Father John Cusick, and we are talking Lent, we are talking Ash Wednesday, and we are creating a game plan for moving forward in this, you know, it's always sacred space, but moving forward in this sacred time, just a little more aware of God's presence in our midst.
And we're trying to take the three pillars, spiritual pillars on which Lent is built, namely fasting, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Uh-huh. And focus on them and see if we might be able to offer some suggestions and insights to all of us as a way of how to make those functional for our lives today and for the world in which we live. I mean, traditionally, we know what they mean. Mm-hmm. And so we did a little bit on prayer, trying to offer the suggestion that prayer is practicing the presence of God. And perhaps one very specific thing Kate mentioned is the prayer before meals. And I did a little spin on saying prayer before you put food in your mouth. So that's where we are with that. Okay, Kate, let's. How about we focus just for a minute or two on fasting?
Yes.
Fasting, now, when I hear that, it's fasting from food. Or people say, I'm not going to drink during Lent. Father Red McLaughlin, may he rest in God's everlasting peace, was a man at the end of the day liked a glass of beer. And I'd be with him and I'd say, Red, I'll buy you a beer. And he'd say, see me after Easter. It's Lent. And so that's sort of a big Catholic tradition that we give up things. And we give up talking to our sister. That's a good thing for guys. You know, we tease a lot about that. But usually fasting, when you hear it, it's about food. If you want that to be, that's fine. I made a recommendation yesterday on our website that people on Friday, in the Fridays of Lent, consider skipping lunch. Or if you can't do it for medical reasons, then cut back a little bit. Mm-hmm. That just is a conscious reminder that I am not just the food I eat, mm-hmm. but I have some control over my body.
And to expand the idea that, you know, God gave, there's plenty of food in the world for everybody.
Exactly.
And if you know, we tend to be, I like to eat a lot. So what we don't eat, others would be available for others to eat. That sense of, let me cut back, let me join those people in poverty that might not have a full meal and experience that and share. So either the money you don't spend at the restaurant or money that you didn't need to pay for groceries by cutting back on that meal could be given to the poor and support other causes.
And so that would blend fast and almsgiving.
Yes.
You know, that if I spend $10 for lunch, and today I had a little soup for $2.50, well, $7.50 is going to go to somebody.
There you go.
So they connect the two. Kate, you had a few ideas down here on the little sheet that we're working off of this morning on what it means to give up something. And you've got some suggestions down here, I bet you, that you've picked up from people.
I had an interesting conversation with a young adult at a meeting earlier. Actually, the end of last week, a meeting not that long ago, where someone said to me, we were talking about a Lent coming and what people were doing, and she said that someone had invited her to take a fast, not for the whole of Lent, but to fast from a particular element for 24 hours.
You know,
we're talking about doing something doable. So they were all, she and others around her, were all asked to fast from negativity for 24 hours. And what a great idea.
Right.
And maybe if you can do it for one day, you can do it for two, and maybe if you can do it for two, you can do it for three. So just the concept, what should we be fasting from? And maybe that would include fasting from, you know, being negative, fasting from too much TV time, fasting from, you know, whatever's getting in the way of you being more fully alive.
And anything that after a while tends to possess you a little bit and over which you have no freedom.
Yeah.
In the young adult world today, and this is going to sound crazy, but you know, everybody's working out. Maybe for 24 hours we have a fast from working out so I can say, I don't need to do that right now. And it's not an obsession, but it's what I'm going to choose to do. Mm. And I used to do that with running. There were days when I was a runner, Kate, I could not run. I had to run. And I'm thinking, no, you're in control. Running is not in control. Mm. This morning, I used this little suggestion because I heard you mention it yesterday in our young adult ministry office. And I used it at Mass this morning because I tried to give people some suggestions on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take a Lenten day and fast from sarcasm? Mm. A Lenten fast from cynicism. And then I used a third one, and I said, a Lenten fast from the obsession that we always have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in many ways today, folks, we live in a very cynical culture. We trust very little, and we are so polarized. I'm right. No, I'm right. And no one really talks to each other anymore. Mm-hmm. But if we fasted from that, could we really listen to a point of view that might certainly not be ours, but not have to worry about putting us right out there? Cynicism, sarcasm. Oh, my God, how we can be so sarcastic. Those are things from which to fast.
And the idea that I am in control. I like being in control. Right. I like being in charge. I'm a good leader. But you know what? I don't always have to lead. I can be a follower, too. Yeah, I know. I don't always have to be in control. And to let go of ever thinking I am in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. I would love, you know, I'm trusting that God is with me. But, wow, I am not in control. There are
and
so
Kate,
many
maybe
things.
It's time that we share, why are we doing this? Is this just, you know, is this because we feel like it? The point of Lent is you have a period of discipline so that we can become more like the one we call the Lord of our life. Hmm. This is not just about me doing things that are difficult. It's me trying to develop my life a little bit more that reflects the life of the one I call my Lord and Savior, and whose cross will appear on my forehead on Ash Wednesday. That's what this is about.
Yes. Yes.
How do I take who I am and make it more like the love that flows from that cross? And that love touches all people, and that's what we are called to be as well.
And another challenge, Father Cusick, I hear people say, oh, I fast from Coke every year. I fast from whatever every year. I meant Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait.
Wait,
and it came out not quite right.
Yeah, it's a modern world.
Don't do drugs either. But anyway, that sense of, you know, we always do a particular thing. Maybe it's time to stop. And again, with that game plan, open up other possibilities. What do I need to fast from to make myself a better person and to help build the world?
Exactly.
You know, to be more Christian, to be more Christ-like.
Right.
What is it in my life this year? And it may be different from last year. It may be the same, but it may be different. So where are you now? This is an opportunity to assess. Where am I now? Where am I headed? And how am I going to get there?
You know, since I was a little kid, we were always told when I was in school that, you know, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's the contemporary way of saying that is that God dwells with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I think part of it, if God dwells with us and we are the ones who pour forth that love into the world, how do I have to take care of myself? This is another part, I think, of fasting during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Am I eating too much? Eating too much of the wrong things? Am I drinking too much? This is a time where we have to be brutally honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No rationalization. No, well, sort of. No, there's no sort ofs. Everything has to be a simple declarative sentence. I don't need that.
And it could be, am I too hard on myself? Am I too critical of myself? You
that's,
know, you've got to, you know, that's another, the flip
that's,
side
that's
of that.
That's that cynicism and sarcasm.
Yeah.
We can be like that to us, you know?
Yeah.
Can we walk in front of a mirror and can we see goodness in ourselves? You know, not perfection. You know, but whatever. So I think, folks, what we're trying to do, we're creating a game plan, and we're stirring up our thinking, and we're hoping that this can stir up your thinking a little bit. And we've done two of the pillars of, we've done fasting and we've done prayer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And why don't we go to break by listening to some words by Danielle Rose, another wonderful composer, from her album I Thirst, the song I Thirst.
I thirst for belief. I thirst for your gaze to wash over me. I'm lonely and broken. I'm weary, forsaken. Why have you I thirst for
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to the Light Show as we move through some reflections for the day and for the season. And we want to remind all of you that we are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. If you know a young adult, if you are a young adult, please connect with our office. We can be reached just by jumping on the website. You can see all sorts of things happening in a full calendar of events. That address is yamchicago.org. That stands for Young Adult Ministry, yamchicago.org, or you're welcome to contact our office by phone, 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473. We will be happy to help you any way we can.
And we're both very aware that so many wonderful people of diverse ages and backgrounds listen to Relevant Radio. And if you happen to be the parent, the grandparent, the aunt, the uncle, the coach,
the neighbor, the friend, neighbor, the landlord, friend, whatever, whoever you are,
the older sibling of somebody in their 20s and 30s, we would be happy to keep them connected to what the church can provide for them at this age in life. So if you could go on our website, as Kate has mentioned, yamchicago.org, and I think in the bottom left, there's a place to put an email address.
Yes, indeed.
And that'll get people connected. And an email went out early this morning when I got up at 5 o'clock. It was there from 3:30. It is being called an e-blast to over 5,000 people that are on our email mailing list. Just a reminder, it's Lent. And when they opened up that on their in their email this morning, there was a bunch of suggestions that we are offering people. We can't make people do anything, but we want to show and offer them the great traditions of our faith and some ways that we might be helpful. So if you can add a name, yours or somebody else's, you know, if you happen to have their emails, we would love that because they can always take it off if they don't want it, but at least you've been able to put it up there. And you can do that at yamchicago.org, and I think it's the bottom left.
That is correct.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and just we also know that a lot of the young adults we're trying to reach are not available to listen to the radio this morning. So the radio show is posted on our website. So
exactly.
Give us a day to get it up there. Michael May, who's our producer, has done wonderful things for us. He will make sure that it's posted and people can download it to an iPod or an iPhone.
Or even just listen to it on the computer.
Or listen to it on the computer.
You can say, you know, I listened to Relevant Radio on Ash Wednesday and I thought they had some pretty interesting ideas and how all of us, you know, can have a little spiritual workout during the season of Lent, and you may want to listen to it.
And so, check it out.
Exactly.
There
so
you
we're
going
to do that. Yeah. All right, Kate.
Here we go, Father Cusick.
You've got an important word down here.
All right.
Reconciliation.
Oh.
Talk about that.
Yeah, that Lent is also an opportunity to get things right, to try again. Ours is a God of forgiveness.
Yeah,
ours is a God of second chances. Our God encourages us to reconcile with one another, to come to communion with completely free.
Right.
And as you have said many times, Father Cusick, that reconciliation is how do you get free and how do you stay free?
That's the key thing.
Yes.
You know, that we, I mean, what that means is that we are not going to be defined by our past, for better or worse. We are not going to be paralyzed by our sins, weaknesses, and mistakes. And we have to find a way to get that baggage out of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we live in a world that holds us to who we were.
Yeah.
And yet there's a God who believes in us who says, get rid of it, so that you can face the future.
Yeah.
So we're much more concerned, not about who we were, but who we can be. And what a wonderful time that Lent gives us to get free.
Yes. And there are all sorts of ways in our parishes. We have parish missions coming up. We have reconciliation services coming up. Individual confession is offered in a number of places. I mean, everywhere, every week. So, you know, another thing to put in your game plan is to figure out what's your best strategy for receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, if you're up for that. And connecting, reconciling with the people and situations around you that need healing. It's all about being healed.
Right.
You know, we think that it's such a negative. It's all about guilt and it's all about something you got to do. It's not at all about that.
No,
it's about being free and being fully alive.
You know, and when we talk about forgiveness or reconciliation, we're always, I think, looking to the people with whom we have issues. Let's be certain, folks, that we focus on another part of forgiveness and reconciliation during Lent, and that's forgive ourselves.
Mm.
I think the most difficult thing in the world is to forgive ourselves. I was dealing with a person who said, Father, I've led a pretty tough and rough life, and I've come to make peace with God. And the person just laid out a lot of baggage, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointments, a lot of brokenness, a lot of sin. And we prayed and suggested a penance and offered the absolution of the church. And then I asked two questions. I said, do you believe that God forgives you? And without missing a beat, the person said, yes, Father, I really, really do. That's why I'm here. I said, question number two. Can you forgive yourself? And there was this long pause. And the person said, Father, I'll be honest, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Now, folks, think about this. If God forgives, what's our problem?
Yeah.
Let go of it.
Yeah.
You know, just in what does forgiveness of self mean? I was working with someone the other day on this, and I think what it means is we let the experiences of life that are pretty embarrassing and hurtful that are inside of us, they have to have less and less power over us. They're not going to go away. They're going to be in our memory for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't possess us. We can't be defined by it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't be held back because of what we did. We have to always be free to stand tall. That's why I think in Catholic Mass, one of the greatest ways when we come together for worship is let us call to mind our sins. That's not to make us feel lousy. That's get it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that stuff so that when it comes time to say this is the word of the Lord, we can hear and nothing else is cluttering our head.
Mm-hmm.
And we can stand tall and say, amen, this is the body of Christ. You're darn right it is. And the Lord is, I may not be perfect, but the Lord chooses to dwell with me. And I think that's why we call to mind our sins. And I think reconciliation is one of the critical things needed in our world today. And how do we forgive ourselves? Wow. I'm not good at that, but I can talk it.
Mm-hmm. There was a great Christian song a while back called The Sea of Forgetfulness, that everything we do, come to God, ask for forgiveness, and it goes into the sea of forgetfulness, that there's no past. It's all about starting right now, who you are, who you can be, and moving it forward. And you're right, Father Cusick. God says to us, it's over. I love you. Let it go. Just
exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly.
So in our game plan, What can we do? Is there something we need to let go of? Is there something that we need to get beyond?
Right.
Is there something that, you know, writing, and sometimes on retreats, we've written things on the piece of paper and burned it, you know, real, it's gone. It's
well, yeah,
it's
that's gone. The symbol of it, yeah. that you can't put the pieces back together.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
Now, that's easy to do in a retreat with a piece of paper and a burning fire and a dark night on the Saturday.
Right.
We're aware of that.
Right. But and 30 or 40 other people doing it with you.
Exactly.
I mean, there's something about, you know, you're together. In it.
And so what we're saying is in the physical world, something can be gone.
Yeah.
Now, in the spiritual world, what's it going to take for us to let go of that?
Yeah.
Knowing full well that we're always going to have the memory of it.
Yeah.
But we don't have to have the, it doesn't have to have, it doesn't have to possess us mm-hmm. as powerfully. And we have to learn how to let go of that and say, I am somebody. You know, I am the beloved of God. I mean, I think that's why, you know, when the Lord Jesus confronted that, talked to that person, is there no one to condemn you? No one, sir. Now go and avoid this. You're not being condemned. Understand that you are not being seen for any less than I see you, which is a daughter and the Son of God.
Okay.
I think that's pretty powerful.
And I think there's a strategy of our church, too, that we don't always tap into that says, give it to God.
Right.
That for those things that truly we are not able to forgive ourselves, and let's be honest, sometimes it just hangs on and our best efforts don't get us past it. Just to say, Lord, this one's bigger than I am. I need your help here.
Right.
Help me to let go.
Exactly.
Just help me to let go. I can't do it without your help.
Turn it
help
over.
Help me to let go. I need your grace. Be with me in this.
Exactly.
Help me to let go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's great. So we have the three great traditions of Lent, and those would be prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and we slipped a fourth one in. We did prayer, we did a little reflection on fasting, and we slipped in a little reconciliation, because I think that that's the umbrella over which everything else, under which, I mean, it's above all of these other things.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to focus a little bit, Kate, on almsgiving.
Yeah, let's talk about almsgiving.
Then we've got the full package, and we've got the four ideas then, folks, for your game plan, and that gives Kate and myself an opportunity to create our game plan for the next 40 days.
All right.
So almsgiving, usually it's write a check, throw a buck. Seriously. I mean, it's giving alms, you know, and you could really see in this world in which we live and so many younger people, they say that college graduates, the unemployment rate of college graduates is between 18 and 25%. That's really huge. So almsgiving, say I'd like to, but. So we have to find a little bit of a spin here, folks, on almsgiving. You know, first of all, I think it's give what you can, mm-hmm. you know, and if it's a quarter, you give a quarter.
Yep.
It's just don't do nothing. It's do something. But I think we have to break open almsgiving a little bit, too. It, to me, it's being generous.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you give generosity? Let's focus on the workplace. How do you give generosity on the workplace? Maybe if there's somebody who reports to you, somebody you see in the hall or in another cube or some kind of a thing, and it's probably not the person you're going to go out and have a beer with after Lent, but maybe the generosity of the human soul says, I'm going to go and say hi to that person, see how they're doing. How you been? How's the family? Some kind of thing. If you have kids and they're in high school, wouldn't it be great to suggest to them that generosity might be talking to the kid who's got the locker right next to you, who may not have any friends? I'm aware of somebody, a little girl, she's in seventh grade, and her grandmother told me that, and her grandma said, I don't know where she got this. But what she does is if she sees somebody being bullied on the playground, and she's not a big kid, she goes and talks to the bully and says, "Please don't do that." You know, we have to respect everybody. Hmm. Well, my God, you know, isn't that the generosity of bringing some common sense to somebody else?
Yeah,
I don't know. Hmm. Where are you with that?
I like that sense of almsgiving is sharing your gifts. Whether it's time or talent or treasure, you know, if you can do it financially, fabulous. If you can do it just by a simple, loving gesture, it makes a difference. Right. You know, smiles throughout the day. I have a friend, Martha Dudich, who for my 50th birthday, everybody, I'm a half a century old. Oh, my goodness. She's been sending me a card a month. And it's made my day. Every time I get there, I'm so excited by it. It's just such a simple but beautifully profound thing that just helps me say, you know what? You do celebrate life. It doesn't matter how old you are. You just keep celebrating life. Right. But something as simple as just, you know, a card. You got to love her for her persistence doing it month after month after month. She hasn't missed a beat. But something that simple that can make such a huge difference. To share your talent, to share your gifts. Is there somebody around you that you can share just a little bit of time with that will make a huge difference?
Exactly.
Just a huge. And not because, you know, you're going to be the martyr. You're going to be, you know, you're out there to make a difference. It's not a prideful thing.
Right.
It's a generous thing. I think you're absolutely right. The generosity. If we can learn to be generous and practice being generous this Lent.
Right. Exactly.
You know, maybe that's a 24-hour generosity thing.
Right.
Or, you know, three times a week I'm going to go beyond what I would normally do and really be nice or really be spend a little quality time over here where I haven't in the past.
Exactly. And if we want to focus these things, folks, can you imagine a Jesus Christ not generous? Can you imagine a Jesus Christ that only prayed occasionally? Can you imagine a Jesus Christ when you walk in on Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, I don't think I'm going to fast in the desert today. These were spiritual practices of spiritual people, and they were rooted in an experience. For us as Christians, they are rooted in the life of Christ, who generously gave himself to the point of death on the cross. Mm-hmm. And on Ash Wednesday, not only do we have ashes on our forehead, but they are in the sign of that cross that reveals generosity, connectivity to the one he called Abba, Father, and fasting and giving of life for other people. It's not bad.
Not bad.
That's what we're about. That's our goal. And that's our motivation.
And our prayer now is that God truly make us God's own. Why don't we listen for a couple minutes to Mr. Ed Boldick off of his CD, Awake to the Day.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Service's Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Yeah.
And we are Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries. Thank you so much for being with you this morning. We hope our time together has been helpful.
Right. And Kate, you alluded to a dear friend who sends you a card every month, Martha Dudich. And believe it or not, she's sitting in our studio today.
But, hey, Martha, how are you?
And she came to Chicago for a music conference.
Oh, yes.
And she won't go on the air with us.
We tried, everybody. But, we really tried. We think you would have loved her.
Oh, I know you would have. But I want to acknowledge.
She's very shy. All right. Martha, not Martha, really.
Martha was the director of young adult ministry for the Diocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, when I met her in
Trenton.
Trenton,
there
I apologize.
You go. That's
Trenton.
All right.
When I met her in the late 80s, and our friendship has grown, and we've stayed connected. And there's a third party who is no longer really with us in the flesh, because she's a big deal now.
Yeah, she's
and
that moved is, to bigger and better things.
Sister Margaret O'Brien was the director of young adult ministry when she was a commoner like the rest of us.
She was amazing.
In Rockville Center.
Yeah.
Now Sister Margaret is the Superior General of all the Ursuline sisters in the whole blooming world. And
wow.
Sister Margaret O'Brien's office is in Brussels, and I think I know how to spell that. And I suppose next time I see her, I'll have to genuflect in front of Superior General Sister Margaret. But there's a chance that she may pick up this show on the internet, and we just want to do a little shout-out because she's one of God's great saints, and we miss her in the States, but we know she's doing tremendous work around the world, as are the Ursuline nuns who are caring for God's children in a variety of places. And so, Margaret, if you happen to be listening to this later, we send a blessing to you. And Kate, before we go off, what do we got?
Please help people find our Awaken Lenten Reflections blog through our website, yamchicago.org, or directly through Facebook, Young Adult Ministry. You can get it right there. Also, on April 2nd, from 9 until noon in the morning at St. Eulalia Church, we are doing our own Morning of Reflection, another way to get connected and stay focused on the season. It's called Searching, Seeking, and Seeing, a Lenten Morning of Reflection.
Now, we've chosen St. Eulalia's because it is about 100 feet off of the Eisenhower Expressway.
There you go.
And so there's no excuses. It's hard to get to. So if you live in the burbs, you live in the city,
you can
be there.
Right there.
If you live from Lake Villa to Chicago Heights and wherever, we picked a central location because of its convenience. And we hope to see you at 9 a.m. on April 2nd, but oftentimes on the internet during the Lenten season.
So thanks, everybody, for everything. Let's keep the conversation going on that Advent blog, Awaken blog.
Our Lenten blog.
I'm sorry. Our Lenten blog. And have a blessed, blessed season of Lent.
Be blessed. Thank you.
See, the Lord is faithful. He loves his people.
Go out in the world. Tell everyone the good, good news.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.